Welcome back, everybody, to the Stone Age Gamer Podcast. This is the last show of the year. It's episode 30. I'm your host, Chris, and with me, as always, are Dean.
Wait, are we introducing ourselves in like the style of our favorite game release of the year?
Oh, can I do mine in interpretive dance?
Sure. Okay. That's going to be terrible on the podcast, but...
All right, Tiff.
Hi. I didn't go last. I usually go last.
Oh, I was expecting an interpretive dance.
Oh,
I've been let down.
I'm doing it in my mind.
We're on an audio podcast. I don't know if that would translate well.
Or maybe I'm doing it in your mind.
Mm-hmm. Dan?
Apparently the interpretive dance I was doing in his mind was not good.
Oh man. Hey. This is going to be fun.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. No, ladies and gentlemen, we're not drunk. We're just tired.
Well, you guys are parents. I'm fine.
I'm working on it. I've got a lovely backwoods bastard here. And I'm not, like, that's not a euphemism, that's just a beer.
Okay.
I thought you had a hillbilly in your backyard or something, and you were just holding him hostage.
A small redneck child wandered onto your, property.
Oh, Jeff? Well,
Jeff
know,
the hillbilly, out back making moonshine.
I don't know that I'd call him a hillbilly. He's just dirty.
Okay. Well... Tonight, reining it all back in here, tonight we are going to be talking about our favorite Christmas present games. Because, you know, getting Christmas presents and video games in the same time and having those video games be those Christmas presents is a wonderful, wonderful feeling. And, I personally have some great memories, and I'm looking forward to hearing about the memories from the rest of the crew. And then we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to do our video game New Year's resolution, since, like I said, this is the last show of 2014. So, we're just going to dive right in, since we've already killed a few minutes talking about weird stuff. And why don't we start with Dean? Dean, discuss.
Okay. So, once upon a time... I was 7 years old, and the PS1 just came out, and my parents are telling me, oh, you know, your friend got the N64, what do you think about it? And I was like, oh, Mario's cool, but I want the PlayStation. The PlayStation's awesome, and the PlayStation has this. And my parents are like, maybe, you know, I guess we'll see what Santa brings you. So, like, I made my grades all good and everything that year and whatnot. So... Christmas comes around, there's presents all on the floor and everything, and I start opening everything up. Now, my parents, being the evil people they are, they put everything in separate boxes, and there's no big box, so I just start opening everything. And I see a controller, and I'm like, okay. I see a memory card, and I'm like, what's going on? Where's the actual box? And then they actually bring out the PlayStation. I get excited, like Christmas morning freak out. Like, oh my God! That was me. I didn't have a game. So, Chris, man, I'm sorry. That's going to be hard to edit out. Just all the stuttering there.
No, I'm leaving it in.
Great. Fantastic. But they finally handed me the game. They're like, here you go. Your first PlayStation game, which was NFL Game Day. 2K5 or whatever the fuck, like 2K, I think it was.
Like, and you were nine in like 2005?
Yeah, no.
God
what
damn
was
it,
no, I'm sorry. It was NFL 98. NFL Game Day 98. Yeah,
like, they weren't making Game Day in like 2005, I don't think.
Give me a fucking break, okay? It's been a while. But that's not the game I'm talking about, because fuck that game. Even though that was my first game, fuck that game. It was stupid. I didn't really like football. I don't know why I had it. It was dumb.
Was
see,
that was
classic Dean misdirection there.
Damn right it was. Damn right.
Was that the 989 sports one?
Yes, it was, where they were like, 989 Studios.
See, now, I was expecting you to say, once you said that they had, like, put in all the different boxes, that you were going to open up a box and be the lid to the PlayStation.
Oh, that would have been fucked up.
Another box would be, like, the CPU.
You can have it if you can build it.
Oh, that's... My parents aren't that evil, nor did they want to reverse engineer my PlayStation, so that did not happen. But... The second game they hand me, they're like, just in case, we got you another game, and it was Twisted Metal 2, and it was the greatest thing I've ever played in my life. There was machine guns, there were missiles, there was a gigantic truck, there was an ice cream truck with a killer clown in it, there was a tank, there were taxi cabs, you could fly off the levels and fucking kill yourself, there were secret passages and shit, but I digress. If you don't know what Twisted Metal is, because I don't think they've released one in quite a long time. I mean, it's been, what, four years since the what was it, Twisted Metal on the PS3?
Something like that, like two or three. Yeah, so three or 4 years.
Needless to say, it's been a while. And what it is, it's a Demolition Derby-esque game, but instead of just crashing into other cars to do the damage, you get machine guns, weapons, special attacks, and whatnot. And they have all these very... I'm not going to use the word colorful, because colorful is definitely not the word for it. Fucking dark and demented characters to go along with it. Why my parents bought me this game, a simple 7-8-year-old at this time, I don't know.
It's got a clown on it. Get it for him. He likes clowns.
Ironically enough, the characters are actually literally quite colorful.
Colorful with blood all over the faces.
Red's a color.
I totally
Red is
agree.
Certainly a color.
What I think happened is my parents are like, we need to get him some cool games, so we'll ask the gentleman at KB Toys, because that was still a thing back then,
shit.
And that's where my parents used to shop for that stuff. So I'm assuming they went in there and were like, we need stuff for our son. What are the new games that are out? And I'm sure Game Day was a new game, and Twisted Metal was a new game, and boom, there you have it. And... Damn, was Twisted Metal good. I mean, everything was so cool in that game. The first time you ever play it, if you've never played a Twisted Metal game, you know, there's all these cars starting on a different side. You pick up power-ups through the map and everything. And the maps, I mean, at that time were relatively small just because you were working with the PS1 engine, so there wasn't, you know, too much crazy stuff going on. But, I mean, they put so much love and time into the game. You know, a lot of the environments were destructible, and this is before destructible environments was really a big thing, which I was so impressed with at the time. I mean, literally, I couldn't stop playing the game the entire day. It was so much fun. And nothing against football games for all you Madden fans out there, but this blew fucking Game Day out of the water. I mean, literally blew it out of the water. Like, the guys in the cars just blew up all the football guys. I mean, fuck that shit. But I had so much fun with that, and that's probably easily my fondest memory on Christmas, was getting that. The Sega was good, but, I mean, Sonic doesn't hold a candle to Sweet Tooth, ever.
Well, that the first time you blow up the Eiffel Tower, you're like, oh, shit, I can blow up things in this game, not just the other cars? This is amazing. Like, that game was so insanely good and so... Like, it makes me, like, retroactively weep that online play was not a thing. Because that game would have been just the fucking best game to play online. I mean, just absolutely fantastic. And the first time you discover, like, oh, like, if I hit left, up, right, or left, right, up, I forget which one it is, but I can shoot out, like, ice beams and fucking freeze the guy... And, no, like, the people you're playing against didn't know how to do that shit? It was fucking magical.
Oh, yeah, dude, the whole game was great. And, I mean, there were secret characters and stuff that could be unlocked and whatnot. I believe in that game it was Minion that was the secret character. But in the original one, they had Darkseid. And they always had these really interesting bios to go along with their characters, too.
Yeah, the storyline was super cool.
Oh, yeah, man. They were awesome. And, I mean, the main boss, too. What the hell?
Calypso.
Calypso.
I am Calypso, and I thank you for playing Twisted Metal.
It was just such a cool
thing. Awesome.
It was like Mortal Kombat with cars.
It really
you know?
Was.
Like, yeah. And that game was everything that was perfect till the third one came out. And then it went downhill for a while. But they came back with Black, and everything was okay. But, yeah, 2 was definitely the pinnacle of that series on the PlayStation 1. I was so happy to get it when it was in its prime, and being able to experience that when I was a kid. It was such an awesome game, and to be honest, I think that kind of turned me on to cars when I was growing up and everything, because then, you know, I started getting and got into like actual racing and everything, and it was such a fun experience for me. And yeah, for Christmas, that definitely is my top game. The end.
Just don't use Axel. That guy sucks.
Oh yeah, he was a paraplegic in a gigantic two-wheel like monster truck looking. Well, not monster truck. He was just literally a guy with two wheels attached to him.
Yeah, he was shitty. His backstory didn't make me feel bad for him.
No, it was all about Mr. Grimm, dude. The Grim fucking Reaper.
That was the motorcycle, right?
Oh yeah, and his finishing move was like the most powerful thing in the game.
Yeah, it was fucking. He was super fast. Really annoying to play against.
Oh yeah, he was so tiny, and I mean back then hit detection wasn't what it was.
No, it wasn't good.
Possible. No.
All right, wait. Back up a bit here. I've never really played Twisted Metal before.
I was gonna say, are me and Dean the only two who have played this? Because I feel like there's a lot of silence from the rest of the peanut gallery here.
Yeah, no, I just want to concentrate on the fact that there's a dude named Axel who is actually an Axel.
Yes. Very creatively named.
It's a play on words.
Wow.
It's funny. It's smaller than, or it's bigger than a regular hat.
Shut up. In a stunning turn of events, the guy named Grimm is in fact the Grim Reaper.
Mr. Wow. Grimm.
Mr. Grimm.
Excuse me. Well, we're...
What the hell was that?
That was Yoshi.
Comic relief.
Yoshi's not really good with his comic timing yet. We're working on training the dog.
But yeah, I mean, there's so many crazy characters. You know, there's a taxi cab called Yellow Jacket. That was cool. Spectre was, I believe, a cop car. They had one called Grasshopper, and his special move was literally jumping like 10 feet up in the air. And if he landed on a car, it was like a one hit kill.
Are there any video game characters named Axel that don't suck?
Streets of Rage.
Nah, he sucks.
He's okay.
It's all about that kid on the rollerblades.
That was number 3, wasn't it? We're getting off track, but yeah, Twisted Metal. If you haven't played it, play it. Amazing game. Easily my favorite Christmas gift, and probably in my top 10 favorite games. You know, because it's just such a unique game, and it definitely deserves to be played. If you can't find a PS1, get Twisted Metal Black. The story in that game is so great. Yoshi, fuck you.
It's I think you can get it on the PSN store. I think it's like $5.99 or something like that. Totally worth it at that point.
Certainly.
You're right.
All right, Dan, you're up. What's your Christmas game?
Well, back in 2000, I had gotten a PS2, and my grandmother, who was quite a lovely lady, she used to spend about like 60 to 70 bucks on all the grandkids. And she was like, you know, these video games, they're so expensive now, I can't get you much, so I'm going to up it to $100. So you can only get one video game, and you got to pick $50 worth of other shit. Grandma had a foul mouth. But
and
I digress.
Apparently a really disturbing accent.
Yeah, she really did. Well, you know. So for that year, there were a couple games that came out with the PlayStation launch lineup. Like typical launch lineups, they're not very good. But getting on a couple months into the system's life, SSX came out. And I was like, that's the one. That's the game that I need. So I called Grandma and I said, you know, Christmas list this year, SSX. I'll wait till, you know, I'm done with school and have a little bit of a break, because the game looks really cool and I really want to spend some time with it. And Christmas morning rolls around, and Grandma came over with SSX in tow, and God damn it, I played the shit out of that game. It is by far one of my very favorite games that has ever come out. And even though the subsequent games in the series, Tricky and SSX3, like vastly improved on the original, that first SSX game was so fun. It was just, it was so much different than anything had come out before. Like, on the original PlayStation, you had Cool Borders run through 500, I think they came out with. And those were fun. They were okay. But, like, a lot of the games that came out for the PS1, they just didn't age well. You know, like, even going right to the PS2, these games just did not age very well. So when you saw this game come out, and it looked beautiful at the time, it was so goddamn fast, and the tricks were just insane. Just insane. And, like, you pop this into your console, and this was all I did for months, was play this game. And, like, it got Sports Game of the Year that year. It got Racing Game of the Year that year. Fucking the dude who was, like, the executive producer on the game invented the sport of border cross, which is, like, in the X Games and in the Olympics now. That was the executive producer on SSX. And it was it just, like, an absolutely perfect game at the perfect time. You know what I mean? Like, every now and again, there are those games that come out where you're like, I have a solid week off from work or a week off from school, and I'm in a particular mood, and this is just the thing that I need to do right now. And for me, SSX was that game.
Nice. Yeah, I have some fond memories of SSX. I never owned it, but I remember seeing it in stores and just watching that game go. It was kind of like, I really akin it to seeing Cruisin' USA for the first time. Just like, wow, it was just so impressive at the time, and it was the right, just like you said, it was the right game at the right time, and not just for you, but just in general for the industry. It was, I mean, it was a huge success because it was exactly what it needed to be when it needed to be, and that was always a really cool franchise. I appreciated that.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, the rest of the games have been a lot of fun, too. Tricky is fantastic.
That's one of my favorites.
The one that they re-released in 2012, they added a really stupid storyline to it, but the game still looks and plays great, you know what I mean? Like, it controls so well. And I think maybe that was the thing. Like, you can do insane tricks in that game with no skill whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can button mash to glory in that game, and you don't feel bad about it because it just looked so cool at the time.
Yeah, that game actually made me go out and try snowboarding, and then snowboarding made me go back inside and play the video game because I'm not good at snowboarding at all. But I was good at SSX.
It's not easy to say. No, it's not. It's just sex. You just say sex a lot.
The Wii version, SSX Blur, was really, really good.
How did the SSX on the Wii control?
I don't remember extremely well. I just remember being like, wow, this is genius. And then never buying it because I was poor at the time. It's like, this is really awesome and I love it and I should buy it, and then I didn't because I suck. But it was I remember being lauded in general for being really creative in the way it handled the controls by not doing what you expect it to be. Like, I think the snowboarding games up to that point were all like, you know, shake and do all that other garbage that people overused with the Wii so much, and
yeah,
then the folks that did SSX were just like, yeah, you know what we're going to do? Something smart. And they did, and it was awesome.
Something smart. Well, that's the thing, man. Like, EA gets a lot of shit. I mean, every year they are voted the worst company in the world, pretty much. Like, them and Comcast seem to be tied for, like, biggest shitbags on the planet. But, you know, I don't work for them. So they put out some damn good games every year. Like, they put out quality shit, you know?
I really had a lot of... you know, for a while there, EA was putting out shit. For a good long while there, EA was, like, driving things into the ground, and they were really championing the annualizing things, and they were the number one third-party publisher. And then they were like, all right, we made it to the number one position. We've got tons of money in the bank. Let's take a whole bunch of risks. And they made stuff like Mirror's Edge and it didn't do nearly as well for them as they needed it to. And then Activision struck gold with Call of Duty. And you know, they swapped positions, you know. Battlefield and Medal of Honor will never catch up to Call of Duty now.
No, because it's just not as good.
Yeah, and even if it is as good, it doesn't matter. It doesn't say Call of Duty on the box.
Yeah, let's not open up this can of worms between Call of Duty and Battlefield, because that is not something I want to discuss.
Yeah, true. Let's rein it back in. So Dan, SSX, very cool story. You got anything else to add to it?
No. I mean, like, nothing other than, like, you know, dumb shit that nobody cares about. Like, it was the first EA Sports big game.
Yeah, nobody cares about that.
Yeah, see, nobody cares.
Yeah, not even me.
Yep.
All right, well, Tiff, what was yours?
Mine comes when I was... I think I was 7'2". And through various circumstances, I had an older stepbrother and an older stepsister and an older sister, and I was the baby. And my sister is the one that got the Nintendo when it was time for that. And then it was my stepbrother who wrested control of said Nintendo so that we never got to play it again. But when I was 7, due to various circumstances, some siblings moved away, some siblings lost interest, so on and so forth, the Nintendo was bequeathed solely to me. I took custody of it and vowed to raise it right. That Christmas, I asked for a video game, not knowing anything at all about video games. I think I simply asked for a video game. And my father came through big time with Mickey's Mousecapades and DuckTales. And these two video games were the only video games that I owned, because at that point our Mario Duck Hunt had long since been destroyed and our Nintendo Golf had long since been, air quotes, lost. So these were the sole games that I owned. And for many, many, many years, these were the sole games that I owned. But they really started me on my video game path. And nothing can ever be topped by that. I was so excited. I told everybody that I knew and lots of people that I didn't know, all of whom I'm sure didn't care at all. Mickey Mousecapades is really not that good of a game. It was exceedingly difficult for me as a small child, because, you know, it's not all that intuitive to know how to kill jumping spider carpets and chairs and brooms and things like that. But I followed along with the little adventure book that it came with that told you how to fight all of the bad guys. I was much more successful at DuckTales because it's just a better game. And I have to say that along those lines, I was sitting at my computer a scant few years ago when I clicked on some link on the internet somewhere, one of the blogs or something that I frequented, if you will, and it said something along the lines of, you know, if you were born between this time and this time, you need to click on this link and have a wonderful day. And that was the very first teaser trailer to the DuckTales Remastery. And I am not ashamed to admit that I wept a little. It was quite a magical time for me.
I that was one of the times I've maybe smiled most in the last couple of years when they did that first trailer for DuckTales Remastered. It was just, ugh.
And they had all the quotes from the other game developers. Tim Schafer's most notable being, "Stop asking me for quotes." Quote Tim Schafer. And I'm like, what is this? And then just silent, like very quietly in the background starts the do 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 do, and I wept like a small child.
Oh yeah, we've discussed DuckTales and DuckTales Remastered quite a bit on this show. We did it in Chiptune Trivia a little while back, and geez, there's what more can you say about DuckTales? It's just such a good game, such a good intellectual property.
Well, and for my own personal entrance into the video game world, you certainly could not ask for a better one.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really good platformer. It's a really good intro game. It's just damn good. Some of my favorite music in video game history.
Well, and it shows you the difference too, like in why we're so fond of retro games and why we still give a shit about them and still bust out the Nintendo or the Super Nintendo. to play these things. They had actual, for real, talented people working on these titles. Like, DuckTales wasn't a throwaway game that happened to be good like so many licensed games are today. Fucking KJ Inafune, the godfather of Mega Man, who's on to Mighty No. 9 right now, was the lead artist on both DuckTales games.
Was he really?
Yeah. Like,
I did not know that.
This is for real, serious talent. Like, a lot of the guys who made the Mega Man games then went and made DuckTales, you know? And it's just like,
but it's
there was a level of respect.
Well, but it's funny that you say that.
You know, they worked at Capcom. You know, Capcom had that property and they put the money into it. You know, if they spent the money on that license, they were going to make sure that it was a damn good game.
It's just funny because Mousecapades and DuckTales came out 1 year apart from each other. And while I personally love Mousecapades and always will because of why I got it and when I got it and how I got it.
Game's terrible.
It's terrible. And the two can really not be
compared. Capcom.
But it's funny that they're both Disney properties done by a third party and just could not be further on opposite ends of the spectrum from each other.
In the 90s, the Capcom just couldn't do any wrong. Just platformers was their thing and no one could touch them.
If I remember correctly, Mousecapade was actually developed by Hudson Soft, but it was published by Capcom here in America, which is why it's so different from all the rest of their games, like Tailspin and Darkwing Duck and even Little Mermaid were just, you know, Disney Capcom games who were quality.
Chris,
like,
you're giving me the heart feels, man. I miss these games.
Darkwing Duck was badass.
Did
you know, it's just interesting little tidbit, that the Japanese title for DuckTales is Naughty Duck's Dream Adventures.
Why? Ooh, what is everything in Japan? That sounds so fucking weird.
I don't know, but I love that.
That's awesome.
I love the fact that it's Naughty Duck's Dream Adventures.
He's not even naughty. He's just fucking grumpy.
I don't know.
Some of the ducks in it are naughty. Magic of Dispel is quite naughty.
But yeah,
and Huey? That motherfucker.
Glomgold. What's he got to kill?
Oh, okay.
Do you know, and this you can edit this out if you want, but I find this interesting. Huey, Dewey, and Louie, right? The three nephews. Mm-hmm. Which of you can tell me which color they are off the top of your head?
Red, blue, and green, no?
Right, no. What no, their colors are, but who is who?
Oh.
I think I know. Huey's red. Dewey's blue and and Louie is green.
See,
don't they have?
I don't even know.
Well,
and
there?
The reason that I don't even know is because the only way I know who they are, because originally those comics were all published in black and white, and they're triplets. They all look
don't
like each other.
Don't say anything racist.
No, I'm not. I'm not. I'm not. This is actually for real. In the comic books and in the show and in the games, they kept it up throughout the whole thing. Huey, Dewey, and Louie are always in that order.
Yeah, they speak in that order.
It's always Huey first, always Dewey, then always Louie. Every single time.
And you know, because you know how like all three of them say the sentence kind of a thing, and they always speak in that order.
Yeah.
And it's red, blue, and green. So Huey is red, Dewey is blue, and Louie is green.
Informative and not racist, damn props.
Wow.
I don't know. I thought that was kind of cool.
It was cool. I did not know that.
That's fascinating. Yeah. All right. Well, I guess I'll move on to me.
Yeah. What do you got to top that?
And we're out of time.
Thanks to Matt Damon.
Well, speaking of Capcom, 11-year-old me was at my cousin's house around Thanksgiving. We're at my Aunt Kathy's house, and my cousins Jason and Ryan had a Super Nintendo Entertainment System, and their system was where I played a couple of my favorite games for the first time, one of which was UN Squadron, but the subject of tonight's story would be the first time I ever played Street Fighter II. My cousins were outside playing baseball, and I was an indoor kid. And,
still am.
They were like, oh, yeah, we got this, We got this Street Fighter game. You ever heard of it before? I was like, no, not really. I mean, I've seen it in Nintendo Power and stuff, but, you know, what's it really like? What does it do? So I turned it on and started playing it. I picked Blanka, and I was like, oh my god, my mind just exploded into a million pieces, and I was like, Mom, I need this game. I need this game. I need this game. And, I had no way of playing it before Christmas at that time. Like, it was just always rented out. I never got my hands on it to rent it. And then, you know, Christmas morning, you know, because it was Thanksgiving where I'd first played it, and so it wasn't that long before Christmas.
Well, an 11-year-old time, a month is a lifetime.
It is. It is, especially when I'm thinking of Street Fighter II all the time. And there was a Street Fighter II arcade cabinet showed up in the ShopRite by us. And I used to, we would go to the ShopRite, and, you know, when my mom was checking out, I'd, run over to the arcade machine, and I never had any quarters, but I would just, look at it and be like, oh my god, this looks so
just
cool.
Just watch the demo screen for an hour.
Yep, or watch other kids playing it and all that other stuff. But, man, Christmas morning, when I opened up that box with creepy Blanca rolling across the front of it with that weird smile and... Ryu being knocked out by
awful box art.
It's a weird
it's
cover.
So bad.
It's such a strange cover for Street Fighter 2, but I remember, so I had a TV in my room that was this little teeny tiny CRT, and we had the big screen in the living room, this big ass CRT. I have no idea what size it was, but it was humongous to me. And I remember on Christmas yanking the Super Nintendo out of my room, hooking it up downstairs and playing Street Fighter 2, and just oh my god, just pounding away at it, trying to get all the way through it and beat Bison and get all the different endings and talking to my dad, explaining how the animations were different on the Super Nintendo version as opposed to the arcade version, and just being a complete nerd.
And your
about
dad
it.
Going, uh-huh.
But,
mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Nerd! Sure, son.
Uh-huh. I think your mother's calling you.
Are you sure you don't want to go kick the football around?
Gives you a wedgie and walks away.
Please, my dad's an electrical engineer. He's a different kind of nerd. He'd be like, sure, son, I'm going to go do some complex mathematics to relax. Because that's what my dad does.
Excuse me, son, I've got a date with Pythagoras and his theorem.
That's intro geometry.
Whatever, I don't fucking know.
Talking
about. I don't math.
I like math.
Oh. But anyway, that was Street Fighter 2 was just so seminal for me. It was so, so good. And I had a similar situation with Turtles in Time. God, Turtles in Time was so good. But Street Fighter 2 was just... Oh, I want to hug those memories of playing Street Fighter 2.
It's just so goddamn good. And we have discussed and probably will discuss many more times in the future... the majesty that is Street Fighter 2. But as you're talking about it, I'm clicking through images here, just kind of trying to rekindle some of those memories there. And an image pops up that I always had a question about when I was a kid, but nobody could ever
body paint.
Yeah, nobody could ever explain it to me. Like, I understand that Zangief has
that is
scars
actually your question. I was just
on
confused.
His body. But I never understood why the scars, when he had green trunks on, why the fuck are the scars green?
Because he painted them so he looked sexy.
Maybe they're not scars.
It's the same reason the inside of his mouth turns green. It's just
no, I know, but
dude,
as a kid, as an 11-year-old, I was like, what the fuck is that? Is that a thing that I don't understand?
I thought that was camo that he painted on himself.
Also, why are his shins so hairy?
Dude, he's Russian. He's got... All right, first of all...
That was racist.
It's cold in Russia, so he grows extra hair so he can stay warm. Secondly, he gets pumped when he wears his green trunks, so he eats a fuck ton of green Jolly Ranchers, explaining the green teeth and mouth. Guys, seriously,
okay,
Wikipedia is your best friend.
But what about the scars, Dean? What about the scars? Out.
Dude, okay, listen. They're aerodynamic. He paints them so that he looks better when he's doing his fucking cyclone shit in the air, dude. It's Christmas themed. I mean, come on. They're green.
He
so
is green
he
and red.
In the air,
oh shit.
He is green.
Exactly. You're not connecting the dots. Game theory 101 right
he's
here.
He's green and your blood is red.
Ah, all right.
So when he pile drives your skull into the ground, it's Christmas themed.
Fucking Zangief. I'll tell you.
God, I love him.
Jeez. What a son of a bitch. Love that guy.
But he's not that guy.
Well, isn't it in the fourth one he's kind of portrayed more as a neutral character than really a bad guy?
I don't know that he was ever really portrayed as a bad guy. I mean, he was a wrestler.
Yeah, that's my mistake. Dude. I'm thinking more Street Fighter movie. That's my mistake. I'm a terrible person.
Yeah, he was just an idiot in Street Fighter the movie.
You didn't like the Godzilla spot where they had E. Honda?
I thought it was hysterical. It was funnier when he's looking at the TV. It says, quick, change the channel.
Zangief was a bad guy because all of us in America grew up and we were all told that the Russians were bad. So whenever
USSR.
We saw, whenever we saw that hammer and sickle, we went, "Oh fuck, it's a bad guy, get him."
It's the villains, unless it was ninjas, because ninjas were also.
Well, of course, until Mortal Kombat.
Unless they were turtles.
And then in Mortal Kombat, the ninjas were awesome. Turtles. Or turtles, yeah, I suppose.
Well, then they fucked it all up by saying, "You know what? Another story for another time. Let's keep moving."
Yeah, another story for another time. Really, just with the Street Fighter thing and up until Street Fighter, you know, fighting games weren't really a thing, you know? I remember playing Urban Champion when I was a kid and being like, well, never playing that again.
Or Karate Champ.
Or Karate Champ.
Why are there two joysticks? I can't fucking do anything. And this guy has a pie for some goddamn reason. Ugh. And it's one hit death. Or like one hit point, like a real fucking karate tournament. Oh, so bad.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yuck.
But, you know, I think of fighting games and I would think of stuff like Final Fight, where just running around and beating the crap out of people, or Double Dragon. And then just the concept of having this depth of control over the different moves that you can have per character of a one-on-one. Here's these two, fight it out until the other one's unconscious. I loved it so much. It was so cool and just a really good Christmas memory for me. But that's going to do it for the first segment with our Christmas presents and all that. It was very Yuletide-y.
It's not a word.
Christmassy.
There you go.
It's a word now, bitches.
Christmassy is fine, but Yuletide-y. I don't think that's going to catch on.
Yuletide-y. It's like really clean Christmas.
Chris, we are anything but clean on the show.
It's a valid point. All right, everybody, it's break time. So we're going to take a quick few moments and get ourselves together, and then we're going to do a quick round around the room talking about our New Year's video games resolutions. So stick around. Welcome back, everybody. It was another fun break, as we always seem to have fun breaks, because I can't think of anything more creative to say when we come back from a break.
No, nobody ever hears the fun break.
Yeah, no, they just have to take our word for it, because I play music, and then we come back, and it's like, yeah, we just had a party. We're all listening to the same song. Anyways, so we're going to do a real quick follow-up, little ender to the show, and we're talk about our New Year's resolutions for 2015 relating to video games. Because it's the last show of the year. 2014 it's been a hell of a year. This was our first year, so we made it to the end of our first year. Although we haven't been on for a solid year.
We're getting close.
We made it to the end of our first year. We're getting close.
Yeah, we're
almost coming.
We're only 22 weeks away.
First anniversary. That's it. Only 22. Hey, it seems to be going fast. We're already at 30.
I remember when we were doing the first one.
I don't, because I wasn't there.
Yeah, that
whatever,
one.
Whatever, Tiff.
That one sucked. You and me weren't on it. That was terrible. Ugh.
Valid point. Anyways, all right, I'll start us off.
Okay, but I want to go next.
Okay, you want to go first?
No, you can go first. I'm
no, ladies first.
Okay, fine. My New Year's resolution is to upgrade our computer so that we can start doing Let's Plays on the channel. as we fight violently against each other in video game battle. And also so that I can go back to some PC gaming, because there are some really awesome PC games out there that I really want to be playing, and my poor little computer just can't hack it. I want to play Gone Home so bad, and I really don't feel like that's too much to ask, but apparently my computer feels that it is way too much to ask.
Wait. You mean there are PC games other than Dota?
Fuck you.
Isn't it Dota 2?
Oh, is it? They made another one? Ugh.
So nice they made it twice.
So hopefully we'll be doing that pretty soon, and you guys can witness our marriage fall apart as we play Lego video games together.
I'm pretty jazzed to see that, to be honest with you. That sounds very entertaining.
Not so much for the marriage falling apart, but...
Oh, that's going to be the entertaining part.
Oh, okay. I guess I'm excited to see that then.
I'm not.
Well, it's your marriage, Dan, so...
For now.
All right, my gaming New Year's resolution is not to go crazy with amiibos.
I don't see that lasting past much a week.
It's not going to be easy, all right? So I got the Wii Fit Trainer. We talked about that last week. For Christmas, I got Donkey Kong, Mario, Kirby, Yoshi. And was that Donkey Kong, Mario, Kirby, and Yoshi? Yeah, that was it. And then today I bought Samus. And I'm going to exchange the Yoshi for a Link amiibo, because I really want a Link amiibo. But they all look so good, and I really want all of them. And there's even like a crazy, crazy part of me that wants to get two of all of them so that I can open them all and then keep other ones sealed, because I'm a crazy person. But nobody has that kind of money, at least not in this house. So
not on this podcast, I'll tell you that.
Not on this podcast. So that is my ultimate goal. I pre-ordered Mega Man and Sonic. I have a friend of mine who nabbed me a Little Mac, and through two friends, actually, wound up getting me the Pit one, which was the one I wanted more than any of the rest of them. So that puts me at right about where I would want to be in general. So depending on what other amiibos come out in the future, I'm going to need to exercise an extraordinary level of restraint to stop myself from going bug nuts crazy and buying all of them, because they so...
Or we could just ask our listeners to buy you all the amiibos.
That's true. If listeners are willing to buy me amiibos, then bless you. I'll take them all, please.
Do listeners do that? Because I've got some student loans that need paying off, and got my eye on this nice set of Cornyware dishes.
Well, no. What we'll do is, once Chris gets all the amiibos, we'll just videotape him swimming in the amiibos, Scrooge McDuck style.
Yes, it will be the amiibo.
Wow.
See, now I was going to say my New Year's resolution is to make the show popular enough so that they just send us all the amiibos, but getting you to swim in an amiibo, I suppose, is just as good.
They need to make amiibo cereal. It's called amiibos. I mean, this stuff writes itself. I mean... If they're bad, you can say they amiiblo.
Shut up!
They certainly
do. Oh, God!
Do.
Stop! Stop it!
I can't handle it, because every time I hear the word amiibo, the early 90s... commercial for the Amigo car starts playing in my head, where it was like the Slinky song. The Amigos, Amigos. Fun for a girl or a boy. No. Don't look at me like I'm crazy. Yes, you remember the old Slinky commercial? They did that. Do you remember that Amigo car? It was like a little SUV looking Fiat motherfella, and it was called an Amigo.
I didn't drive in the early 90s. I didn't pay attention to cars.
I didn't drive either, but it was on the television, and you did do that.
No, I went outside. I was an outside kid.
Anyway, there was a commercial for a car called Amigos, and it was to the tune of the Slinky, and every time you say that, it starts over in my head, and I'm going...
Amiibo, 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 Amiibo.
I don't like Dean.
Are you going to amiiblo your brains out?
See, but this is the thing, guys. You have to understand something about Tiff. She can't let things just lie.
Please don't.
Like,
please
if you were to
it.
Say...
Please.
Do-do-do-do. So it has to happen. She can't sit here.
Oh my god,
she's
Roger Rabbit. She's shaving a haircut.
2 bits.
See, she had to fucking say 2 bits. It doesn't matter how many times you could say shaving a haircut and go on with your conversation. And see, it's going to be right there. It doesn't matter. It's not a disability. It's adorable.
Is it but like the come sail away thing? Does she have to do that?
I don't know.
But like, and that's the thing, like, Tiff's from Texas.
Please don't do it!
And I don't even have to do it, but she's gonna clap her hands in a second, and because she's singing it in her head.
Do it.
It's amazing.
Because I know what you're gonna do. Please do it.
If all you have...
Yes!
See, I didn't even have to say, the stars at night are big and bright.
Oh, God. I hate you. You're supposed to love me and protect me,
I do
asshole.
Love you. This is hilarious, though.
I have a similar affectation, and it has something to do with the intro to Castlevania Symphony of the Night.
You fucking lunatic.
There's your episode title. Of course it does, you fucking lunatic.
Oh, my staff at Game Crazy used to do it to me where I would say they would just start the opening speech, the dialogue between Richter and Dracula, and die, monster, you don't belong in this world, and then I would be compelled to finish it. Just I couldn't stop myself.
And yet
doing it I'm
you
doing
don't
it in my head
it
right
now.
Die, monster, you don't belong in this world. It was not by my hand that I am once again given flesh. I was called here by humans, who would pay me tribute. Tribute? You steal men's souls and make them your slaves. Perhaps the same could be said of all religions. Your words are as empty as your soul.
Oh God,
mankind ill needs
one.
A savior such as
one
you.
Time.
What is a man? A miserable little pile of secrets? But enough talk. How about you?
That is fucking Shakespearean. God damn it.
I fucking love that game. Anyway,
I'll go. Because why not? My earlier resolution was bullshit. But, no, my resolution for 2015 is to actually finish some fucking games. Like,
yeah.
It's, you know, I'm a PlayStation gamer for the most part at this point in our lives. And it's really nice having the PS Plus thing because it's like, hey, you get 6 free games a month. But it's like, hey, there's 6 games I'm not going to fucking finish. And it's a lot of goddamn pressure. You know, like I finished Injustice. We got that. We got out of the games
know,
in December.
But
I finished a fighting game.
Trophies. You only have 1 platinum trophy.
But that game was pretty long, you know, just to throw that out there.
No, sure, but I mean, like, we get all these games, and there's so many indie titles, and there's so much good shit out there. And now that we got the Wii U for the kids, it's just, I would actually like to finish more of the games that we have. Because I always look at it like, yeah, I'll finish that eventually. I'm never going to fucking finish it. It's never going to happen. You know, like, The Binding of Isaac, I really like playing it. I'm never going to fucking finish it. There's, like, 500 different endings. It's not going to fucking happen. But I would like to dedicate some time and actually, you know, get through some games.
That's why I refuse to start the Stanley Parable, because I just...
That game doesn't really have very many endings, and I mean, you can get to an ending incredibly quickly. I got to most of the endings, actually, rather quickly.
Well, it's
yes,
just,
how do you know that you have all the endings? Wouldn't you just play on forever thinking maybe this time I'm going to go a different direction?
No, you're right. But after, I think, like, I got 5 endings in, I was like, you know what? I'm going to go on Wikipedia and see. And I didn't look at what the endings were, but they have titles for each one, and I just counted the titles out.
I don't know. It bothers me. Because there are, like, games that I like that I don't finish. You know, Thomas Was Alone. That game's awesome.
That hasn't finished?
Not, yeah, and it's not even all that long. But fuck, like, we just...
But I know, but every time we sit down, there's, like, a new thing.
I know, or a new flash sale. It's like, ooh, look at that, 99 cents.
That's
great.
That's one of the reasons That's one of the reasons I don't have PS Plus. Like, I know it's an amazing value, but there's, I already literally have hundreds of games that I will never finish. Like, I've still got to finish Earthbound, for crying out loud. Like, I just got Hyrule Warriors. I still have Super Mario 3D World. I have Super Mario 3D Land. I have, Wonderful 101. I barely even touched that game. Rayman, I have to finish. A great game called Zeo Drifter just came out. I really want to download it, but when the hell am I going to have time to play it?
Well, and that's, I mean, that's one of the reasons that I switched mostly to indie games. Because they are, like, 2 to 3 hours long. It's like, all right, that I can actually finish. I'm never going, like, Mass Effect. Those games are right up my alley. And, like, I've played parts of all three of them, and I'm never going to buy them, though. Because I just would never put the time into it. So, I don't know. That's my thing. Maybe we'll add that, like, on the website. What games have we actually finished this year?
So it'll be gonna be embarrassing.
Really depressing in December of 2015.
That's I like that. A running tally of games we actually finish in 2015. Let's do it.
Oh, we could do our own. We could do our own book it program. That, like, after we finish a certain number of games, we will give each other pizza coupons.
Pizza parties at Pizza Hut.
Ugh. All right, Dean. What's your New Year's resolution?
I've felt like I've let myself and the community down a little bit because I retired the Vestlord for a little bit. So 2015, the first thing I'm doing is I'm going to do a entire series where I play Hearthstone till I get to legendary rank, which is you start at rank 25, damn, you go all son. The way down. I've gotten down to 10 with the decks I've made, but I'm going to get super serial with it, and I'm going to have a beer next to me. And I'm gonna fucking man mode it till I get all the way down to rank, till it goes down to I think top 1,000 in the country, and that's where I'm headed for. And the Vestlord's gonna do it. And then with that, we got a lot of recorded content coming out. We got a whole drinking game thing, and I'm gonna beat the shit out of some games. But mainly the one thing I want to do that I've set my sights on and I've started looking into is I'm going for legendary rank in Hearthstone, and I'm gonna fucking hit it. Oh, I'm gonna fucking do it.
We're all counting on you.
That was some fucking lingo right there. Going super
I don't fuck around, man.
Man mode.
And, like, that's the thing. Like, wow. Well, I'm pretty sure I can do it because during the stream that we did for the Martin a couple months ago, it was 4 a.m. I was getting super punky, and I was like, you know what, I need something where I could kind of just vegetate and, you know, not really put that much thought into it. So I played Hearthstone, and people watched me go on a 16 win winning streak before I lost one game, and then I won another, I think, 12 to 15 games after that. So I won about 30 games and lost one. So, yeah, I think I could do it, I'm pretty sure. That was all ranked, too, mind you. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure I could do it. I need a slightly better deck because I've been out of the game for a while. But I'm gonna throw back on my vest, and we're going to have a lot of recorded content coming out.
Shit.
Bro, it's my costume.
The mental image of you, like, nah, fuck that, it's time to get serious. Like Sylvester Stallone in Over the Top, but instead of flipping your hat like a switch, you just put on some old fucking shitty vest.
Firstly, my vests are the best thing ever.
Vests.
Yeah, I have plural vests. But secondly, well, now I'm at work, and I couldn't wear my vest anymore to work because of dress code issues.
Ah, boo.
Yeah, people were like, your power vest is gone, and I was like, I know. They literally said, your power vest is gone. What are you going to do? That's what I'm known for. And
you know what?
If I wouldn't overheat and die, I would.
Close to your nipples.
Thank you, Tiff. But yeah, I want to get back into it. We got a lot of cool stuff coming up. And at anything, I am going to beat the shit out of some video games. They will be documented. I will record everything, and I promise you, I will defeat anything that I put on YouTube. If I'm starting it, I'm going to fucking finish it this year.
Silver Surfer, laying down the gauntlet, Dean.
Let's do it. I don't fucking care. I'll do it.
All right.
I think we should start doing Let's Plays. I think after Dean uploads a Let's Play, we should then record audio of us talking shit about how Dean is playing the game. Because I was really enjoying watching you play Donkey Kong. Except I was getting so angry because you kept going past the letters. And I was like, turn around, it's right behind you!
So like Mystery Science Theater for Vestlord?
Yes.
Nice.
That seems so meta. I'm pretty sure that's exactly what happened in the last episode of South Park when they did the spoof on PewDiePie. It was Cartman streaming himself watching PewDiePie stream. That's exactly what happened. You basically just made an episode of South Park. Congratulations.
It's exciting.
Simpsons did it.
Wow. Well, on that note, we're going to call it a night. Dean, why don't you give us the rundown?
So if you like the show, you want to go ahead and check out all the other content we have on our website, check us out on iTunes, or check out any of the links for the games we were talking about. It's all going to be in the show notes. So remember, if you want to email us, download the shows, check on any of the other shows or anything like that, remember to check out the show notes because that's where it's all going to be.
All right, sounds good. And from all of us here at Geek Life and here at the Stone Age Gamer Podcast, we wish you all a very happy new year. It's going to be a huge one for us. We've got a ton of new stuff coming. It's going to be big and super happy and wonderful. And I'm all out of adjectives and I'm just about out of consciousness. So happy new year. Have a great night. Thanks for listening and we'll see you next week.
A good game with a character named Axel.
Yeah, what's that?
Beverly Hills Cop.
Aquel.
Oh god, now I'm gonna have that. Can we edit that in and then just put the fucking Beverly Hills Cop theme like just in the background? I would die for that. I love that song so much, even though it's like literally 4 bars long.
I'll see what I can do.
I know a guy. I'll talk to him, see if I can get that in for you.